Israel, the Most High, our power, our God, Yah, is one. Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to Blueprint for Life, The Awakening. I am B, the preacher. This broadcast is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association. I pray that you're doing well on this wonderful Shabbat, day of rest, recertification, validation, fortification, to just kind of chill out from yourself and this wicked world that Esau and these Edomites are trying to run right now and shrieking and bucking because they're out of time. So we take full advantage of this day and this time to encourage and exhort one another. So many people prophesying, broadcasting, trying to interpret the times, prophecies, where we are in the Bible, are commenting, are reacting to what's going on in the world. In all actuality, that's fine to try and walk in the office of a prophet, but he said in the last days, my sons and daughters will prophesy, put you in remembrance, shout out loud that he is the king and the king is coming and you must prepare to meet the king. So we must focus our lives, how we live and what we do, on praying that we're approved, worthy of the kingdom. Everything else going on outside us in this world is a distraction to deter us from the faith and keep your spirits down and low. And trust me, that frequency has been ramped up. It's all around you. It's all next to you. It's beside you. It's where you go. And it really, that's why he said he that endures till the end. It really takes the function of the Ruach HaKodosh in your life to have the testicular fortitude to travel over the mountains and through the valleys of trials and temptations in this last hour. But we'll get through this, and this too shall pass, because the Most High said, I shall deliver them from them all, and he has not appointed us to judgment. We're in a series, and I'm not going to delay the time because I have to do a lot of reading, and I want to save my voice. I call it death and judgment because a lot of people don't understand that after your death comes the judgment. If we don't see him when he comes, this is the process we must go through. And a lot of this process has been hid from us, but thanks be to the Most High through lost books that Daniel prophesied would be revealed in this hour, such as the Ascension of Isaiah, the extended books of Ezra, and the Cambridge versions and the Apocrypha, the books of Apocalypse of Paul, just so many in the Apocrypha that give us a better glimpse into really what's happening down here, what we're going through, and where we're going to. And in this series, we read last week the Death and Judgment Part 1. It was the test of our forefather Abraham. Abraham, the father of many nations, Isaac, father of Jacob and Esau. And then next week, the Most High willing, we'll be talking about our forefather, Jacob, whose name became Israel, which we are the descendants of. We are the Israelites. Last week, that was fascinating. Some of the things that the angels allowed Abraham to behold, but this week this should encourage you as well and give you some insight into the awesome, magnanimous God that we serve, the Most High Yah. So without any further delay, let's go ahead and get into this reading. The Testament of Isaac found in the Pseudepigrapha starts off like this. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one God, we begin the help of Yah and through his meditation to celebrate the death of the patriarch Isaac, son of the patriarch Abraham, and his ascension from his body on this same day, which is the 28th of the month of Misery. May the blessing of his intercession be with us and protect us from the temptations of the enemy. Amen. So he left here the same time he was born, same time his father left, same date. Fourth verse. Now the patriarch Isaac wrote his testament and addressed his words of instruction to Jacob, his son, and all those who were gathered together with him. He said, hear, my brethren and my beloved ones, this speaker's instruction and this curative medicine, because the way of Yah goes on forever. Hear not only with chaste bodily ears, but also with the depth of the heart and with true faith without any doubt, as it is written. Behold, you have heard a firm word as to what a man should become. He has heard it with a pure heart. Yah will give him compassion when he asks for something from him. And it also is written, there is no profit for someone to ask Yah for what human beings solicit on earth. And if Yah has given us mastery on earth, then how much the advantage of the one who has been firm in the faith in the word of God and has held fast without doubt and with upright heart to the knowledge of the commandments of God and the stories of his saints, for he will be the inheritor of the kingdom of God. For behold, Yah is compassionate and merciful. The one who has received unto himself thieves and tax collectors in past times because of the sincerity of their faith that comes from Yah. Yah, moreover, is with the ages to come. Chapter 2. It came to pass when the time drew near for our father Isaac, the father of fathers, to depart from this world and to go from his body, that the compassionate, the merciful one sent to him, the chief of angels, the one whom had sent, he had sent to his father Abraham on that same morning of the 28th day of the month Misery, followed in the same footsteps. That's why bloodlines and lineages are so important, and having an expected end. It's a blessed thing to have your family members next to your bedside when you leave here, because it should be a time of instruction before your departation of leaving your body. Saints, we need to remember we're nothing but talking dirt. And that dirt goes back to the ground, and that spirit hopefully goes back before the Father, and then he makes a decision on where we go from there, as we have read. First, the angels to him, peace be upon you, O chosen son, our father Isaac. Now it was customary every day for the holy angels to speak to him. Pause. Every day the angels would speak with Isaac. I continue. So he prostrated himself and saw that the angel resembled his father Abraham. Then he opened his mouth and cried with a loud voice and said with joy and exultation, behold, I have seen your face as if I had seen the face of the merciful Creator. Then the angel said to him, O beloved Isaac, I have been sent to you from the presence of the living God to take you up to heaven to be with your father Abraham and all the saints. Let's pause. The reason I love these books, because it's helping us to understand you will be amongst those who lived righteous once you are taken from the body. And you will know that that was your father, but you will not remember the sorrows of this world. Let's be clear about that. That's why I want this to encourage you about who we are as a people. It says, for your father Abraham is awaiting you, about to come for you, but now he is resting. There has been prepared for you the throne beside your father Abraham. Likewise, for your beloved son Jacob, and he hadn't even passed yet, the throne already prepared for him in glory. And all of you shall be above everyone else in the kingdom of heaven in the glory of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You shall be entrusted with his name for all future generations. The patriarchs, you shall be fathers to all the world. O faithful elder, our father Isaac. Isaac answered, saying to the angel, I am truly amazed concerning you. Are you not my father Abraham? Then said the angel to him, I am not your father Abraham, but I am the one who ministers to your father Abraham. So now rejoice and be glad, for you will not be smitten with disease and will not be taken in death with pain, but with joy. Let me pause on 2 points right there. First one, he says, no, I'm not your father, Abraham. This is the angel Michael. He's saying, but I minister to your father daily up in heaven. So I know you were in a dark place when you were in Christianity. They told you you're just somewhere asleep and don't know what's going on. No, these people are in the third expanse that we learned about in the apocalypse of Paul and the ascension of Isaiah, being ministered to and in comforts the one who lived righteous and kept the commandments. Furthermore, the fact that he said, I am not going to let you die of a disease or of sickness because of his righteousness on the earth. And he said, you will not die in pain. You will die in joy. I know a lot of us have the fear of death because we think it's painful, it's excruciating. We don't know what death holds. But to read something like this, to know that you can go peacefully or you can go horribly in pain, headed to pain and torments. Only what you do for Christ will last, and it's important to understand that it's worth turning your back on wickedness and sin. Temporary pleasures don't help you in this moment, for our life is nothing but a vapor. He gave him the promise of saying that you will not die in pain, but with joy, rejoicing, and you shall attain to blessings and repose forever. And shall go forth from confinement into spaciousness. You will no longer be confined or relegated to the prison called earth or to the prison called this body of flesh, which is corruptible, but he is moving into spaciousness. Imagine that for a moment. I continue. Also, you shall go away to rejoicing, which has no end, and to light and bliss, which have no limit, and to acclaim and delight without ceasing. I know you're saying this is Isaac, but the Father has no respect of persons for them that live righteously. Imagine your best day, your happiest day, your most joyous day, and that's how you will live forever when you leave the body or when we see the return of our Savior and we make it into the kingdom. Bliss. I continue, verse 15, and now make your will and set your house in order, something most Israelites don't do. Make a will and set your house in order, for you are about to go away to final rest. Nevertheless, blessedness shall be upon the Father who begot you, and upon your offspring, which shall come after you. Now, when our father Jacob heard them talking in this manner, imagine this. Isaac's son Jacob is listening to the angel talking to him about what's about to befall his father and what's going to befall him. When our father Jacob heard them talking in this manner with one another, he began to listen to them, but he did not speak. Then our father Isaac said to the angel with patience and humility, what shall I do now with regard to the light of my eye, my beloved Jacob? I fear concerning him on account of Esau. You, of course, know the whole story, and we do know the story of Jacob and Esau, but we did not know that his father, Isaac, considered him, Jacob, the light of his eye. We thought he was deceived and tricked and accidentally blessed Jacob. He knew what he was doing. But if you go to Romans, the 9th chapter, it explains that story full well, because you have the descendants of Esau and Edom saying that it wasn't fair and that Jacob's name meant deceiver. That's not what Jacob's name means. Look it up. He was not a deceiver. And I'm not trying to move away from this story, which is why I'm not going to break that down right now. You have the time to study to show yourself approved. He knew who Jacob was, and he was the blessed one and to be the father of the Israelites, our people. He told the angel, you know the story of Jacob and Esau. Then the angel said to him, my beloved Isaac, all the people which are in the world, if they were gathered together in one place, would not be able to undo the blessing upon Jacob. Because at that time, when you blessed him, he was blessed by the supreme God.
also by the Son, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, and by your father, Abraham. These blessings, this is why I try to stay on my sons and my now two grandsons. It is a big deal when you lay your hands upon them and impart a blessing on them, because you are in laying in, you are standing in the stead of the forefathers and the Most High Yah in imparting a bloodline blessing on that seed that they may continue in the will of the Father. Satan always tries to just block that, get in the way of that. Let me continue. All of them responded and said, amen. The iron sword will not frighten him, but he will be exceedingly strong, talking about Jacob, and will gain sovereignty. Then he will become the father of many nations, and 12 tribes will come forth from him. Then Isaac said to the angel, you have informed me and have brought me good news, but let Jacob not hear, for he will be sad and disturbed, for I have never pained his heart at all. Then the angel of the Lord said, O my beloved Isaac, all the righteous who go out from their bodies have blessedness, and they are blissful when they see the Most High, the merciful, the compassionate. But woe, woe three times to the sinner when he has been born upon the earth, for he has many pains. You shall teach your sons your ways and the commandments of your father, all of them which he commanded you. And do not hide these things from Jacob, that they may be a reminder to the generations of his offspring after him, so that the faithful may observe them and by them attain to the life eternal, which is forever. But I shall take account of your concern. Behold, I came to you with joy, speedily. The peace which the Lord gave, I give to you. I go quickly to the one who sent me. Chapter 3. When the angel had said this, he rose from the bed of our father Isaac and moved away from him. Isaac kept looking at him and was amazed at what he had heard and seen. So he undertook to say, I shall not see the light until you send for me. While he was meditating on this, Jacob had come forward to the door of his father's chamber. The angel had already cast sleep upon him to prevent him from hearing that discussion they were having. He put Jacob to sleep, the angel. Just all of a sudden became, I forgot the sleeping disease, just immediately went to sleep and was unable to retain the conversation about him having 12 children, 12 tribes of Israel. When he woke up, he said, so when he entered the resting place of his father, he said, Father, with whom were you speaking? Isaac, his father, said to him, now you must hear me, my son. Word has been sent to your venerable father that he should be taken from you, O my son Jacob. Then Jacob embraced his father and wept, saying, my strength has gone from me. Will you make me an orphan, O my father, so that this day I shall become wretched? Again he embraced his father Isaac and kissed him. Both of them wept until they were worn and weary. It's hard to say goodbye, but it's a blessed thing when you know you're about to go that you speak on it and not have fear. Then Jacob said, O father, I will go away with you and I will not give you up. But Isaac said to him, my boy, this is not for me to do, O my child and my beloved Jacob, but I thank God that you also have become a father and that you will remain until you are summoned. As my father Abraham informed me, I am not able to set aside any part of the decree, which is valid for everyone. Thus it will come to pass, for what is written will not be frustrated, but God knows, my son, that my heart is weary on account of you. Yet I am happy in my going to the Lord. So now that you have experienced growth in the Spirit, put away from you this weeping and lamenting. Listen, my boy, that I may speak to you and give you understanding about the first man I mean our father Adam, the created one whom God formed with his own hands. Likewise, our mother Eve, also Abel and Seth. No mention of Cain here. Only Abel, who Cain slew, and Seth, who looked just like Adam, who was not of the wicked one. This is a confirmation of the seed of the serpent's seed and the seed of Cain. Our father Enoch and Mahalalel, the father of Methuselah and Lamech, and the father of Jared and Enoch, father of our father Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And after them, Phinehas, Kenan, and Noah, and Eber, and Reu, and Terah, and Nahor, and my father Abraham, and Lot, the son of his brother. All of these deaths away except our father Enoch, the perfect one who ascended to heaven. And after this, there shall come forth 12 giants. Then will come Yeshua, the Messiah, from your descendants out of a virgin named Mary. And God will become incarnate in him until the completion of 100 years. So much confirmed right there out of the Testament of Isaac, especially about the perfectness of Enoch, a book that many in religion will tell you not to read and deter you from, which will keep you blinded to the truth. Let's go to the fourth chapter. Now, Isaac, listen to this. Isaac used to fast every day, not breaking his fast until evening. He would offer up sacrifices for himself and for all the people of his house for the salvation of their souls. He would rise up for prayer in the middle of the night, and in the daytime he would pray to God. He kept on doing this for many years. He would also fast the 3 40-day periods. Every time the 40-day period came around, and he would not eat meat or drink wine all his life long. He also would not enjoy the taste of fruit, nor would he sleep upon a bed, because he was devoted to prayer every day and to supplication to God all his life. So when the crowds heard that a man of God had appeared, they flocked to him from all the districts and places to hear his instructions and life-giving recommendations, and to be assured that the Spirit of God was speaking in him. I know this is a tremendous sacrifice, and half of you can't do it, but you see what this got him. He sits on a throne in heaven now with the patriarchs. I'm pointing out how we have to live a life of sacrifice. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And we're living in a wicked world. Even if we could do the portion of praying daily, waking up in the middle of the night and not just going to get a snack, but praying and interceding for the souls of your household and your family, that they'll receive salvation. Fasting and not eating until after 12, after 3, until 6 daily. These things aren't hard, but it's like, do you want a relationship with the Father? Do you want the Holy Spirit to definitely flow through you and keep you? Do you truly want to be sealed up? These are keys that we're learning and reading. We know some people in us personally, we can't do all these things, but we can try and ascertain to certain levels. It's called setting goals, heavenly goals for ourselves to be closer to the Father. Look at the results. Everybody would flock to this man to hear his wisdom. So the further we get away from this world, the closer we get to the kingdom and closer we get to Yah. And he speaks through us, talks to us. We prophesy to people. People come to know the Father because he is active in life, because you have crucified the deeds of the flesh. You make sacrifices daily. Consider it. I continue. So when the crowds heard that a man of God had appeared, they flocked to him from all the districts and places to hear his instructions and life-giving recommendations and to be assured that the Spirit of God was speaking in him. Then the great ones who had flocked to him said, "What is this power which descended upon you
after the time when the brightness of your eyesight went from you? And how have you had a reprieve to see now? Then the faithful old man smiled and said to them, as to those who have presented themselves, I will inform them that God healed me when he saw that I had drawn near to the gate of death. He awarded me this honor in my old age that I might be a priest. So with the sacrifice, he ascended into becoming a priest. And for a long while, he had problems with his eyesight, and God opened his eyes and blessed him with that towards the in his old age. Listen closely to verse 11. Then someone, Jacob said to him, began for me a discourse that I may be consoled by it and hold fast to it. So our father said to him, Jacob, if you speak not in anger, listen to the instructions Isaac is giving Jacob. If you speak not in anger, guard yourself from slander and beware of empty boasting. See that you do not converse alone with a woman. Careful that an evil word does not come from your mouth. I hope you're taking points in all this. I'm going to start over because I want you to be pointed as to the instructions. Jacob said to him, begin for me a discourse that I might be consoled by it and hold fast to it. Give me instructions on how to be where you are, be this holy and appropriate. And these are the things he said. Don't speak in anger. Guard yourself from slander, slandering other people. Beware of empty boasting, bragging about yourself. See that you don't converse alone with a woman. It's a setup. You shouldn't be alone any place talking to a woman. Satan will enter in. Brings about lust. Things happen. Stay up out of a woman's face. Stay up out of a man's face. Alone. Next, be careful that an evil word does not come out your mouth. Keep evil words from coming out your mouth. Guard your body. It's your temple. That means don't put all types of pharmakia and injections in it, that it may be pure. Don't eat bad things. Don't eat bad foods. Don't be given to drunkenness. Why? For it is the temple of the Holy Spirit which dwells within it. Then he says, take care of the lesser functions of your body, that it may be pure and sanctified. See that you do not make sport with your tongue, lest an evil word go from your mouth. Stop using your mouth and your tongue as a sport to check somebody. Always got something to say. You, a lot of people worship their words in their mouth more than God, or more than they fear God. And here he's giving him this point. Do not make your tongue a sport, lest an evil word go out of your mouth, because you have to give account of every word at the judgment. This is why we have a time of repentance. This is why we're grateful he hasn't come back yet, because we have many things to repent for since we've forgotten about. He told Jacob, beware of stretching out your hand to what you don't own. What's not yours. Do not present an offering when you are not ritually clean. Bathe yourself in water when you intend to approach the altar. So God is concerned with how you come before him. You can't just come anyway. You can't be ritually unclean. There are things in the Torah that we must do. You can't just have gotten through cursing somebody out, talking about somebody, and then think you're just going to come before the Most High. You can't have just been laying down, even if you're married, in a sexual manner, and then haven't washed yourself and cleansed yourself or your mind or your thoughts. You know, that's why the Rechabites, and you see I did a story on the Rechabites, a reading on that. They only would have sex with their spouses like maybe once a year, or maybe once after they were betrothed. Let me go back to this. Do not present an offering when you are not ritually clean. Now, of course, these are when we made sacrifices of animals and offerings, but the rituals must be right. Now, Christ has been the ultimate sacrifice, but understanding that we don't come to the Father any kind of way is what we take from that. Now listen to this. Do not mingle your thoughts with the thoughts of the world as you stand at the altar in the presence of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in HaMashiach, Yeshua, Christ Jesus. You have to cleanse your mind and cast down imaginations. So this is why it's important to not entangle yourself with the cares of the world as spoken of in the book of Timothy, because you're not fit for the battle if you're entangled. And how does this happen? Watching the news, being put in a state of fear because television has programming on its channels where things are channeled into you and spirits are in you, and you come before the Father with the worries that have been channeled into you. You are mingling your thoughts with the thoughts of the world because you're so surrounded. You have to take a time of meditation where you can sit in your home, in the park, by the water, whatever, and be alone with the Most High. No music, no sound. And I always say this, that to those who have no peace, silence can be so loud because they have no peace, because this wicked world, you know, especially the music is all wicked now. All of the music is wicked. That's why they've thrown away, they have conversations about, has R&B died? Yes, it's died, because when the Israelites made beautiful music about love with lyrics about life and talked about the struggles, now you got rap, which is not in the expanses of heavens, but it's birthed out of the pain of our people and the captivities. That comes from a place of pain and people crying out. But it's the frequencies, and now they've taken over the industry, and demons have taken that. Well, you see all the rappers dying. You know what's happening out here. I don't have to tell you. So it's not about so much music for the meditation. It's about finding a place of peace and establishing a thought pattern of heaven and heavenly things and reading the word and meditating on the word. Why? Let's read again. Do not mingle your thoughts with the thoughts of the world as you stand at the altar in the presence of the Most High. Make your offering so that you may be a peacemaker between men. Are you making sure that everybody's staying at peace? As you're about to present your offering to Yah, when you have moved forward to approach the altar, you shall pray to Yah 100 times without ceasing. At the beginning, you shall voice this thanksgiving as follows. O Yah, the incomprehensible who cannot be searched out, the possessor of power, the source of purity, cleanse me by your mercy, a free gift from you to me, for I am a creature of flesh and blood, fleeing to you. Know of my uncleanness, and surely you will cleanse me, O Yah. For behold, my cause is in your hands, and my recourse is to you. I know my sin, so cleanse me, O Lord, that I may enter into your presence with self-respect. Now my offenses are weighty. I have drawn near to the fire which burns. Your mercy is upon all things so that you can take away all my transgressions. Pardon me, ever me, the sinner, and pardon all your creatures whom you have fashioned, but who have not heard and learned of you. I am like all who are in your image. I have turned to the doing of what is forbidden to me. I have come to you, and I am your servant and the sinful son of your nation. But you are the forgiving one. Forgive me by thy graciousness that comes from you, and hear my entreaty that I may be worthy of standing at your holy altar. May this burnt offering be acceptable to you. Do not turn me back to my ignorance because of my sins. Receive me like the lost sheep. May the God who provided for our father Adam, Abel, Noah, and Abraham be with you, O Jacob, and with me also. Receive my offering from me. He goes on to say, so if you have approached and have done this before your ascent to the altar, then offer your sacrifice.
but you shall take care and be alert that you do not grieve the Spirit of the Most High. For the work of the priesthood is not easy, since it is incumbent upon every priest from today until the completion of the last of the generations and the end of the world, that he should not be filled by the drinking of wine, nor be satisfied by the eating of bread, and that he should not talk about the concerns of the world, nor listen to one who does talk about them. Let me pause, because we are functioning in the priesthood now under the order of Melchizedek, and even more so, we move more into it. So we begin to acquiesce from the desires of this world and not constantly yield ourselves to the ways of the world. We already know Bible prophecies being fulfilled, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famines, disease. We are in the times of sorrows, which means we're close to Jacob's trouble, that final tribulation where the Antichrist, the wicked one, will reveal himself and bring into all fruition the infrastructure he has already laid for the beast system and the mark of the beast. And many people think that the mark of the beast wasn't that so-called thing. It was a layout, a rollout, a part of the process, and it will all come together with one thing. But I digress. We're functioning in the priesthood now. And so as he says this, we should take heed, not oversatisfied with gluttony, not oversatisfied with wine, and not talking about the things of the world constantly. Did you hear? Did you see? Did you know? What do you think? None of that stuff. It said, but priests must expend all of their efforts and their lives in prayer, watchfulness, and perseverance in piety, in order that each one may petition the Lord successfully. Moreover, every man on earth, whether wretched or fortunate, has incumbent upon him the keeping of the commandments. For men after a short time will be removed from this world and its intense anxiety. Then they will be engaged in holy angelic service by reason of purity. You will be functioning, if you read the third book of Enoch, you're going to go into angelic service like the angels once you leave the body up in the heavenlies. If you don't go into torment, you immediately go into service where there's constant worship and praise and edification and communication. We didn't know all these things back in our early Christianhood days. We just thought you're just dead. You're just gone. Read the third book of Enoch, where you see the souls of humans that have already been here and that are yet to come hovering around the Most High, the throne of the Most High. Read about what happened to Enoch as he was converted into a high archangel from his regular soul and spirit, and the archangels feared him and trembled. It says that when we leave this earth, we will immediately be engaged in holy angelic service by reason of purity. This is what we're working on now, saints. They will be presented, they will be presented before the Lord and his angels because of their pure offerings and their angelic service. For their earthly conduct will be reflected in heaven, and the angels will be their friends because of their perfect faith and purity. Do you see? You're going to the third expanse and you'll be functioning. Great is their esteem before the Lord, and there is no one either small or great in whom the Lord will not make improvements, for the Lord wishes that each be without fault or offense. And now continue to supplicate God with repentance for your past sins, and don't commit more. As you get older, brothers and sisters, find yourself in a place of repenting for things that you don't even remember you did, or things that you just thought was so commonplace you didn't even think it was a sin anymore, especially your fornications. And don't go backwards. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, do you have a better take on those two scriptures? It means at some point in life, you grow up and start to prepare yourself for your heavenly home and what really matters, because you're nothing but a moment of vapor, of memory down here. You're so caught up in this. Supplicate God with repentance for your past sins and don't commit more. Accordingly, do not kill with the sword and do not kill with the tongue. Don't shoot nobody. Stop talking about people. Do not fornicate with your body. And do not remain angry until sunset. Do not let yourself receive unjustified praise. You hear that one? Don't even pause on somebody gassing you, blowing you up. Don't live to need that as this generation is doing now. Don't seek praise and accolades. These things keep you in your sins and bring on a spirit of heaviness, because you feel somebody's not praising you or seeing you or recognizing you. Your recognition is in the kingdom. Do not kill with the tongue. Do not fornicate with your body. Do not remain angry until sunset. And do not let yourself receive unjustified praise. And do not rejoice. Listen to this. This is a hard one. Do not rejoice at the fall of your enemies or of your brothers. Be happy about that. You may have prayed, like David, an imprecatory prayer for the Most High to dig a ditch for your enemies. But when he has judged your enemies, you got to watch your mouth. You can't say, uh-huh, that's what they get. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, God be praised. No, he ain't got, no, he just told you to keep your mouth shut. Do you see there's a piety that we have to grow into? Can you imagine seeing your Father God establishing his vengeance on your behalf, but you'd act like you didn't even see it? And you're supposed to actually still feel sorry for that person. This is a growth thing, people, becoming an adult in the spirit. Do not rejoice at the fall of your enemies or of your brothers. Do not blaspheme, and beware of slander. Do not look at a woman or a man with a lustful eye. These things and what is like them you shall guard against, in order that each one of you may be saved from the wrath which will be manifested from heaven. Chapter 5. When the throngs who were surrounding them heard this, they cried out with one accord, saying, truly, everything which this venerable man has said is worthy of attention. But he remained silent, pulled up his cloak, this is Isaac, and covered his face. Isaac just got through preaching. He told these people how to live. The assemblage and the priest who was present after silence said, let him rest a little bit. And then when Isaac got through preaching and telling them how they should live, then the angel of Yah came to him and took him up into heaven. He had just got through preaching and he rest, bowed his head. And while he had bowed his head in the spirit, he had took him up in his spirit within a vision. I don't know if you've ever sat somewhere and you went off into a daze. Imagine how intense that daze was that Isaac went into, where he went up into the heavens and saw a vision and began to speak with the Most High. This is also the power of your sleep when your body is in a form of death and your spirit is still alive, and you go into different realms and dimensions. While he was resting, the angel of God came to him and took him to heavens, and there he beheld certain things in fear. Listen to the things that Isaac saw in the heavens. Many wild beasts were within easy reach, the sides, like the brothers, so that they did not get sight of one another. Their faces were like the faces of camels, and some were like the faces of dogs. Other were like the faces of lions and hyenas and tigers, and some had only one eye. Isaac said, I looked, and behold, They had agreed on a person and were hurrying him along. And when they had made a sign to the lion, those who were walking with him withdrew from him. Then the lions turned upon him, tore him apart in the middle and dismembered him, and chewed and swallowed him. And after this, they ejected him from their mouths, and he returned to his original state. And after the lions, the others came forth and did the same thing to him. One after the other, they would take him, and every one of them would chew him, swallow him, and then eject him, and he would return to his original state. I said to the angel, "Oh, my Lord, what is the sin which this man has committed that he should have to endure a burden like this?" This person that he saw in the heavens was being tormented in hell. And there were animals that were eating him, eating this person alive, chewing him up, swallowing him, then spitting him out, constantly being regurgitated to go through the same process. Can you imagine that torment? The angel said to me, "It is because this man whom you see was in enmity with his neighbor for 5 hours, and he died without having been reconciled with him." This man went through this torture because he kept a grievance and anger towards his neighbor for 5 hours and died while he had this anger on him and went into judgment. Think about how you're carrying anger against someone for 5 years, and you won't let it go. Spiritual adulthood, people. So he was handed over to the five of the tormentors that they might torment him a whole year for each of the 5 hours which he spent as the enemy of his friend. Then the angel said to me, "Oh, my beloved Isaac, see here the 60 myriads who inflict torture for each hour that the man remains hostile to his neighbor. He is brought here to these creatures who torture him, each one of them for an hour until a full year is completed. If he had not been making peace and repenting of his sin before his removal and his separation from his body, just having anger and resentment from someone from the past and then dying with that in your heart, tormented for a year, for just 5 hours of anger. Then he brought me to a river of fire, and I saw it throbbing, with its waves rising to about 30 cubits, and its sounds was like rolling thunder. And I looked upon many souls being immersed into a depth of about 9 cubits. They were weeping, crying out with a loud voice and great groaning. Those who were in that river, and that river had wisdom in its fire. It would not harm the righteous, but only the sinners by burning them. It would burn every one because of the stench and repugnance of the odor surrounding the sinners. Then I observed the deep river whose smoke had come up before me. Then I saw a group of people at the bottom of it screaming, weeping, every one of them lamenting. The angel said to me, "Look at the bottom to observe those whom you see at the lowest depth. They are the ones who have committed the sin of sodomy. Truly, they were due a drastic punishment." My God, they had a festival here in this repugnant city last week, and I could see this, what he saw in a vision, I could see upon the people with the beat and the rhythm, because it was a festival of sodomites. And this is what he's seeing, how they're being tormented and burned. They were due a drastic punishment. Then I saw the overseer of punishment, and he was all of him fire. He would strike the myrmidons of hell, his helpers, and say to them, "Kill them, that it may be known that God exists forever." Then the angel said to me, "Lift up your eyes and look at the whole gamut of punishments." But I said to the angel, "My sight cannot embrace them because of their great number. But I desire to understand how long these people are to be in this torture." He said to me, "Until the God of mercy becomes merciful and has mercy on them." This is telling you that there's the possibility that he will be merciful to the people who are already up there being tortured. People being tortured are those who have chosen to live a life of sin. I have seen people that have chosen this wicked lifestyle on this earth saying, "I'm going to hell and I don't care. And I hope I burn." God is so merciful, he's giving some people an opportunity in the midst of their tortures and torments to repent. And if he should decide to have mercy on them, they will be brought out of that torture and torment. This is why we have to even pray for those that have gone on, because this is what's going on with some who have left here in sinful manner. Not those who left in a peaceful way, like some of your grandmothers who didn't have no hatred towards nobody in the world when they left here and was talking about, I'm going home to be with my God. This just should really expand your confidence, your courage, give you great hope. Until the God of mercy becomes merciful and has mercy on them, and he is a merciful God. Chapter 6, and after this, the angel took me to heaven, and I saw Abraham. Listen, this is Isaac, not dead yet, but sleep in a vision. He said, I prostrated myself before him, this angel, and he received me graciously. And all the godly ones, then listen to this, then they all came together and did me honor because of my father. Then they took me by the hand and led me to the curtain before the throne of the father. So I prostrated myself before him and worshiped him. And with my father and all the saints, while we just uttered praises and cried aloud, saying, most holy, most holy, most holy is the Lord Sabaoth of armies. Heaven and earth are filled with your sanctified glory. They're just glorifying God. They took him in, and he knew these people, and they knew him, the saints, and they were glorifying the Most High. Prostrated myself before him and worshiped. As to everyone who shall name his son after my beloved Isaac, my blessing shall rest upon him and be in his house forever. Then the Lord said to me from his holy height, as to everyone who shall name his son after me, my blessing shall rest upon him and be in his house forever. If you named your child Isaac, that blessing would be upon that house. That's how blessed Isaac was. Excellent is your coming, O Abraham, faithful one. Excellent is your lineage, and excellent is the presence here of his blessed lineage. So now everything which you ask in the name of your beloved son Isaac, you shall have today as a covenant forever. Then my father Abraham answered and said, yours is the sovereignty, O Lord, ruler of the universe. The Lord from his holy height said to my father Abraham, every man who shall call his son by the name of my beloved Isaac, or shall write his own testament, shall have a blessing which shall not come to an end, and my blessing upon his house shall not cease. Or if anyone will give a poor man something to eat on the day of the festival of my beloved Isaac, then I will give him to you in my kingdom. That is the 28th of Misri. We'll have to look up to see what the month of mystery was, but that was the day that they were born and died, Abraham and Isaac. But we've been commanded to take care of the poor amongst us in order to incur blessings. But I want you to see the power of a name and of doing these things. And he said, of one who writes his own testament. Leaving a testament about the goodness of Yah in your life, that could be writing a book, a biography, an autobiography, memoirs, or even the videos and podcasts we do today. It's important to write your testament of the goodness of God to your life. Don't take that for granted. The Lord said to Abraham, listen to this. Then my father Abraham said, O Father God, ruler of the universe, even if he is not able to write his testament or covenant, let your blessing and your mercy unfold him, for you are the merciful one. The Lord said to Abraham, well, let him feed the hungry one with bread, and I will give him a place in my kingdom. And he shall be present with you from the first moment of the millennial banquet. The saving God also said to my father Abraham, and if he is so poor that he does not find bread in his house, then let him spend a whole night commemorating my beloved Isaac without sleeping, and I will bestow upon him a heritage in my kingdom, a night of prayer, or having food in your home to go give to the poor. These are commandments from the Father. You'll be blessed with these things. My father Abraham said, and if he is weak and cannot endure an all-night vigil, then may your mercy and compassion still unfold him. So the Lord said to him, then let him offer a little incense in my name on the memorial day of my beloved son Isaac, your son. And if it should be that he does not know how to read, then let him go to hear the reading from one who can read it, as I am doing right now. If he cannot do any of these things, then let him enter his house, lock the door behind him, and pray 100 prayers of repentance. Then I will give him to you as a son in my kingdom. But above and beyond all this, let him bring an offering on the memorial day of my beloved Isaac, and all those who shall do all that I have said shall be granted the inheritance of the kingdom in my heaven. All who took pains to write their testaments and covenants and life stories and showed mercy, if only by giving a cup of cold water, and believed with all their hearts, with them shall be my strength and my Holy Spirit for the prosperity of their affairs in the world. I don't know if you heard that. It says that these instructions get into the kingdom. If you can't do these things, he keeps giving you options. And he said, write your life story, as I just said. But he said, if you'll give somebody a cup of cold water, if you look out for other people, don't just walk by people when you see them or you see somebody in need. This is your ministry every day, not to walk in anger. He said, if you do this, you will have my strength and you will have the Holy Spirit and you will have prosperity in all your affairs in the world. And you're wondering why things ain't working out for you. He said, there shall not be any trouble in your departure from this world if you're like this. I will grant them a lifetime in my kingdom, and they shall be present. You're not going to leave here in a bad way. And he's given a promise of the millennial banquet. That's when Christ comes back to get his people, his saints, and we go into the thousand-year millennial reign, and Christ will sit down and drink wine with us again. Peace be upon you, O my beloved ones, the saints. Who are the saints? Go to Psalms 148, the last three verses of that chapter. You find out who the saints are. They are Israel. When he had concluded all this discourse, the heavenly beings began to cry out, saying, listen to what the angels do. Most holy, most holy, most holy is the Lord, Savior. Heaven and earth from this holy place. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. The Father who controls everything answered from his holy place and said, O Michael, my faithful servant, call in all the angels and all the saints. Then he mounted the chariot of the seraphim while the cherubim went before with the angels. And when they had come to the couch of our father Isaac immediately beheld the face of our Lord, full of joy toward him. He cried out, it is well that you have come, my Lord, with your great archangel Michael. It is well that you have come, my father, with all the saints. When he had said this, Jacob was greatly disturbed, and he clung to his father and kissed him, weeping. Jacob is seeing his father talking to these angels while he's yet in his physical body. Then our father Isaac raised him up and made a sign to him, giving him a hint with his eyes, meaning, be silent. So Abraham said to the Lord, O Lord, remember also my grandson, Jacob. And the Lord said to him, my power shall be with him. He shall glorify my name. He shall become master of the land of promise, and the enemy shall not hold sway over him. And our father Isaac said, Jacob, my beloved son, keep my injunction, which I lay down today, that you preserve my body. Do not profane the image of God by how you treat my body. We do not burn our people. For the image of man was made like the image of God, and God will treat you accordingly at the time when you meet him and see him face to face. He is the first and the last, as the prophets have said, we bury our people. Isaac had said this, the Lord took his soul from his body, and it was white as snow. He took possession of it and carried it with him upon his holy chariot and ascended with it to the heavens, while the cherubims were singing praises before it, likewise his holy angels. The Lord bestowed upon him the kingdom of heaven and everything which our father desired out of abundance of blessings from God, he had, including the fulfillment of his covenant forever. Such was the decease of our father Abraham and our father Isaac, son of Abraham, on the 28th day of the month of Nisan, on this very day. This day we have consecrated and designated. And on the day when our father Abraham offered the sacrifice to God on the 28th day of the month, I'm sure the heavens and the earth were filled with the sweet fragrance of his way of life before the Lord. And our father Isaac was like the silver which is burned, smelted, purified, and refined in the fire. Likewise, everyone who shall come forth from our father Isaac, the father of fathers, on the day when Abraham, the father of fathers, offer him as a sacrifice to God. The perfume of his sacrifice ascended to the veil of the curtain of the one who controls everything. Blessed is everyone who manifests mercy on the memorial day of the father of fathers. The Lord has made with them his true covenant forever, and he will keep it for them and for those who come after them, saying to them, whatever person has manifested mercy in the name of my beloved Isaac, behold, I will give him to you in the kingdom of heaven. We shouldn't forget Isaac. We just kind of glance over Isaac and go straight to Jacob, but we should remember Isaac. Behold, I will give him to you in the kingdom of heaven, and he shall be present with them at the first moment of the millennial banquet to celebrate with them an everlasting light in the kingdom of our master and our God and our king and our savior, Yeshua, the Messiah. He is the one to whom are due the glory, the dignity, the majesty, the dominion, the reverence, the honor, the praise, and adoration, along with the merciful Father and the Holy Spirit, now and for all time and to all eternity and forever and ever. Amen. The obsequies of our father Isaac are finished. Thanks and praise be unto Yah, always, forever, and eternally. Our sacrifices of living holy is a sweet smell to our Savior, but our sins is a repugnance, a stench, and it can't even stand in the presence of Yah. I wish you understood. There's a part in the third book of Enoch that said that when Enoch's body was changed into a high state cherubim, that his wings could cover the whole expanse of the earth. When I begin to try to envision that, and it said he also enlarged Enoch's body, that his body was greater than the whole earth. We have no knowledge of what's happening in the seven heavens that are above us, the seven levels, how big these angels and how big they are. But when you can kind of think about it and imagine it, you realize how minute and small what is going on here. Well, I mean, what's going on here is how we get so caught up into something that is like a bunch of little ants running around under the presence of the Most High Yah that has this great patriarchal, holy stratosphere system that's going that we can be a part of, that we're connected to. We are a part of if we're keeping the commandments, because when Christ died, the veil of the temple was ripped, and now we can boldly approach the throne of the Father. We can make our petitions known. He hears us. He watches us. He answers our prayers. This is like, I hope it encourages you the way it encourages me, because there's a connectivity, and they try to copy this Satan in the movies because he comes from this place. And he knows he's not getting to go back. So he tries to emulate where he came from in his movies and create an alternative universe, a metaverse, whatever they want to call it, because he's trying to duplicate what he came from. And he said he would do this in Isaiah 14th chapter. So movies give you a sense if you have no imagination. But if you have imagination, know that Satan, his demons, this world that are relegated to this earth under this firmament, they don't even scratch the surface of what we're connected to. All you have to do is live holy, take care of the less fortunate, make the sacrifice. Do not succumb to the demons or your flesh that are in this world. You know, when you're young, you make a lot of mistakes, and God looks upon, you know, he'll ignore that.
but you will pay a price for the sins that you've committed, because you have to have a lifetime of repentance. Pay attention to the minute sins in your life, because it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. You can be tortured and tormented when you get ready to go back to your Father. And I'm talking to the saints. Only the saints are going to be doing those things. The Gentiles and heathens, they'll have a place at the table, but they're going to be servants. They're not the saints that are going into the kingdom that has 12 gates on. I digress. If you can keep from being wrapped up into the image and picture and movie that Satan is playing before you, and focus on these things, these books, these readings, and writing a testimony for you, your life will be full if you read the word every day, pray every day and night, watch your mouth, love on people, and figure out how you can bless somebody daily. You can fill up your days as you await. As the book of Revelation says, here is the patience of the saints. The patience is in keeping the commandments. If you can just be patient, you're either going to be alive to see him coming, or you're going to die a peaceful death and immediately go loved ones who lived righteous and the other saints and be enraptured in joy and bliss for having fulfilled your time, your short time on the earth, and lived righteously and repented. You can do this, we can do this, we shall do this, we shall get through this. We shall endure. We shall behold him. We know who we are. We're not going to go to that place that was created for Satan and his fallen angels and the fallen watchers. We're going to be with our Father and our King and our Messiah. It's been our time. Close out and say that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. We shall endure until the end. Get through this. Peace and blessings. Shabbat shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
kingdom down. Oh, Lord. Say, Lord, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh, yes, you've been a building
your kingdom.
Oh, Lord,
all over this land.
That's all right.
Say, Lord, we're gonna tear your kingdom down.
Oh, thank you, Lord. The preachers are gonna preach your kingdom down. You better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the preachers
are gonna preach your kingdom down.
Gonna break your kingdom down. Oh, you better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the mothers
are gonna break your kingdom down.
Oh, oh yes, sir. You've been beaten. Say, blessed are they that mourn. Ooh, 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 Lord, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You know, just take my mind back to the clear hills of Carolina. I never will forget that little wooden church that we had there. We didn't have pianos. We didn't have nothing but drums. There were times of saints would just nod their head. They would just pat their feet. I'd like to remind Satan one more time. His time is just about out. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, Satan, Satan, Satan. We're gonna tear your kingdom down. You better watch out now.
Satan, we're gonna tear your kingdom down.
Gonna pay.